Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, BPM number 83. That's Ba'is Pnimi, Shir for Men, Shir number 83. Most couples do have a period of romantic intensity when they fall in love, and then within a few months, completely on its own, the high subsides. Research, as well as experience, shows that the normal period of that neutrality, when it goes to the regular normal level, sets in between two people between 6 months and 2 years of intimate contact. And neuroscientists who study the brain that see this activity theorize about it, can't be 100% sure, but it seems that the brain cannot eternally remain in its high, revved up, lust-filled type of state, either because the nerve endings of it become habituated, meaning it becomes more of a habit in its stimulants, or because the normal substances that would cause that level to go be up would drop. And so it is sort of like a chemical thing in the brain. And basically it's the concept of sort of like any type of a drug that gives you a high, and then you develop a tolerance for it, so it has less of effect on you, and it has a less of a you know, feeling. It's sort of similar to when you, unfortunately, someone gets addicted to some type of drug that makes you feel good, that's not healthy. Eventually, that dose is not enough, and you need a higher dose. And if you don't, you'll flatten. So that's what happens over here. The novelty begins to wear off. And familiarity sets in. And this normally causes a couple to retreat from one another as they retreat from this stage of infatuation or closeness. And this euphoria, excitement that used to be there sneaks out. Reality sets in. And here comes that second stage of love, which in the beginning is not fun. It's hard work. But one can break through. The problem is at that point in time, that's where a lot of the crises happen. That's where a lot of times, unfortunately, the premature divorces happen. It's a terrible thing. And that is one change that we have to change in our minds to fight against the Western culture. And halavai, even with, between the goyim, the non-Jews, to impress upon them how unhealthy that ideology of the Western culture of Hollywood and just in general that type of culture, what it does to us, to change the perception that infatuation equals love, okay? So many of us don't watch movies at all, and it's better that way perhaps, but if they're already going to create types of movies, create some ones without that similar same stupid notion. Again, they spice it up because that's what makes money. But the idea of quality concepts of real love beyond just that infant, babyish infatuation stage. And if you don't understand, if couples don't understand the difference between the infatuation stage and the post-rapture stage when it goes down, or when you don't know what's going on, that's where couples are at a very high risk. That's where the sakana sets in. Even if one does not have mamish infatuation as described to the extreme, but there's a certain varmkeit that's generally there in the beginning of marriage, and that varmkeit starts to dwindle down, that mukkain, that place, that time span is a tremendous sakana. If you don't understand that this is just a similar normal pattern for everybody, and not to hit that panic button. Most couples panic when they see these feelings drop, and they think, again, not my zivik. What did I get into? The feelings that I had, that was Stama Mishigas. Now I'm in the real world. Who is this guy? Who is she? They're strangers. I don't know them. And they panic. and behave badly as a result of that and other factors, instead of recognizing, if they're taught, understood, that this is part of a process. This is the Sfiras Omer after the high of Pesach. This is the Avodah of Cheshvin after the high of the Yom Ha'Ro'im, going into Sukkot, going to Shmiyat Teres, into Simchas Torah. This is the point after the high of Shavuos, and so on and so forth. Same thing over here. So the idea being is like this. There was a situation that she, the author, describes of a couple, had a beautiful relationship, and they could have let it slide and get destroyed if they didn't understand the nature of this post-rapture stage, the stage where the infatuation feelings to go away. And she mentioned a couple that went through mutual friends. They were in the late 20s. They didn't have much money, but their love was strong, and they were attracted to each other. But they knew marriage was out of the question for a while. And then they their relationship became more intense. They started connecting. Long conversations, long nights. They had intimate relations. They were in high energy. But ultimately, the demand of each one's jobs created a stress and personal obligations and responsibilities. And their limited budget restricted them that they couldn't go wherever they wanted to go. And each one had to pay attention to their job to advance, to make more money. So that initial high wore off. And the reality of this post-rapture stage came in. And the wife was disappointed. And she began questioning her relationship. She even fantasized about former boyfriends that she had. Wonder if leaving the first boyfriend was a good decision. But the bottom line is she caught on to herself, recognizing from her husband now that this is the adjustment to the post-rapture aspects past infatuation, and their finances allowed them to stabilize. They got married again. This is obviously a secular type of a thing here. And they were not infatuated anymore. They actually were in love with one another in a real, real way. So this stage of the low part of it, of not feeling those feelings, that was the first serious challenge in their relationships. And in many, many cases, that is the first challenge in all couples' situations. Whether you had a high level of infatuation where you were mamish, like seeing stars with each other, or if you weren't with that personality, still had an overall familiar, fun, or at least comfortable feeling about it. And you have to learn to do the reality of it. And those who did not experience it need to start working on the real work to get it in there and to infuse it with real love, which can happen whether you were ever infatuated or you were ever weren't. But if you had it and you lost it, you could bring it back. You could bring back those loving feelings by acting in loving ways. You want to feel romantic. I mean romantic not in the garbage way, but in the healthy Tyridica way, then be romantic. It takes dedication, but there's a great payoff, and it'll pull you through the lower spots of your marriage. Start doing that. No matter how you feel now, up, down, indifferent, start looking at your husband or wife with a new pair of eyes, giving the benefit of the doubt, looking at them, towards a hava, think healthy, good thoughts about that, but about them in a very, very healthy way. There are many challenges common to that. And that one of them is, of course, the waning of the sexual interest falls into this category. The sexual interest drops. Basically, the infatuation stage creates a strong desire for it, where you mate and you procreate, and Hashem designed it that way. And the first few months of intimacy, there's a tremendous sexual urge. And then slowly, 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 this feeling withdraws. Often with the first birth of the first child, and a little bit afterwards, sometimes even before that, someone's married even 2 years, and they did not have children yet, also the interests could go down. Because that love potion, whatever the chemical combination in the brain that created this infatuation, is not there anymore. So your sex drive went back to normal. You know, or your previous level of whatever your sexual interest is, which is much lower than it was in the first year or year and a half. And for some people, normal sex drive means that you want it a lot. For others, normal sex drive means you don't want it much at all, meaning there's a high and a low. And naturally, it's normal. Scientists known for years that the male sex drive is connected to testosterone. With women, it seems to be that's the case as well. When they have treatment for this, there's an upsurge in their sexual arousal and strong desire for it, for more frequent intercourse and a higher rate of orgasm and so on and so forth. So research has found that women who naturally produce more testosterone, a woman, let's say, that has a high baseline of level of testosterone, they call it a high T, high testosterone woman, they are significantly more sexually aroused and more responsive than the low T woman. Here lies a problem, because if someone, a girl, that's a teenager, she could come from the most frum religious home, with the right chinuch, with the right shmiras hanayim, an erlich hatznistic girl, but nevertheless, if they have biologically a higher level of testosterone, a higher level of that chemical that creates a higher sexual urge, they will struggle in this area. They may fantasize about boyfriends. They may have an urge towards sexuality. And they will get very confused and very difficult to understand. And they'll feel isolated and alone because no one around them seemingly feels this way. And they were always in the proper schools. They probably maybe didn't even watch television or even read anything or were exposed much to things. And nevertheless, has this strong sexuality within them and a high libido as a teenager, not knowing what to do with it, not understanding what's wrong with me. Like as if, you know, there's some type of tumma on you. And they already paskin on themselves, tumme, when in reality, it's simply, it's a high T person. By nature, biologically, they have a higher drive. And a lower T person who does not have that higher drive does not mean that all of a sudden they're tzaddikim. They're not tzaddikim. They just have a lower drive. So that's a very important thing to understand overall. Side with men and side with women. High sex drive does not mean you're an animal or a low person. Low sex drive does not mean all of a sudden you're a Mr. Tzaddik or a Mrs. Tzenua, a Parish, a high-level class Rebbetzin. One has nothing to do with the other. You could have high Rebbetzins on very high spiritual levels that have a very, very strong sexual, high libido and urge. And you have others that the heads are still in the sewer and they are not spiritual at all. And they are exposed to bad things, but they're not, they run a less likely tendency to be nichshel or to fall into these things because simply they are of a lower level biologically. So this is one of those that's conceptions that somehow they put a correlation between people who struggle with sexuality and frumkeit, and they say that when one goes up, one goes down. And it's impossible, like it's mutually exclusive. If someone has a strong taiva to this, that means there's something really, really off and they're not a spiritual person and there's something really wrong. And they assume that if you don't have that, oh, that's a kosher, high, holy person. And in real life, it doesn't happen this way. Sometimes it does, but very often it doesn't. So that's an important thing to understand overall. And this understanding of the different natures will help one be understanding of oneself, but at the same time, be understanding of one another. So this is the idea, you know. We have this wishful thinking that if a couple had this real close connection in this way physically, that it should remain la'ilam void. It's not meant to remain la'ilam void. What happens is let's say by dating, the hormonal, the infatuation, this low libido person, this low T testosterone person, in the infatuation period, all of a sudden They change. And they think to themselves, oh, now I have finally a person that turned me on, that made me feel sexual. Right? And the higher one, level one, it says, wow, I found someone that's perfect for me. They love to be sexual just like me. And then when what happened was, is when this infatuation disappears, then the lower level libido person goes back to their normal norm. And the high level libido looks at that person and sees the lack of interest and gets disappointed. Instead of getting all bent out of shape and disillusioned and getting crushed by it, you recognize this is a normal progression. It's normal for a low testosterone type of person, man or woman, to have little or no interest in the sexual connection, and the higher level to be quite interested. And that is a gap that just needs to be worked on. It's normal that they're going to feel confused about it or disappointed about it. But when you recognize the reality, instead of getting confused or disappointed, you work with each other. You work with each other. The problem is the one on the high level feels now betrayed. They feel tricked. They feel cheated. Because that low-level testosterone person, the one that has a low sexual drive, that was heightened just in the infatuation period, and now it goes back down, the high-level person says, you tricked me. You betrayed me, or you deceived me, or something happened with you. You showed so much interest, and all of a sudden you're shutting the switch. In the meantime, the lowering of that switch is because that's natural to them. It's just part of their nature. And that is important, to not get bent out of shape with these type of things. The problem is, again, that the spike in sexual interest that accompanies infatuations leads us to believe that it'll always be that way. But one needs to recognize it will not always be that way. It's a stage that we're going through. It's in an inflated high where both husband and wife have a lot of sexual energy, and then each person goes back to their normal. Their normal creates something called a desire discrepancy. And the problem is, this is the real crime in the scientific world, when there's a discrepancy between desires, between two partners, or between a husband and a wife, they call that sexual dysfunction. That is an avla. That is a crime, and it's inaccurate. So I'm going to repeat that, or just say it as a statement. The discrepancy between desires of a husband and a wife is not a sexual dysfunction. It is normal. It is normal for almost all couples to have a big difference between their sexual drives and libidos and desires. It is not realistic to expect that two people to have the same level of desire all the time, given their biological differences. And because they don't get this and understand this, it's okay to be frustrated. You see, the idea is that the drives are different and you're trying to work through it. It's not always easy in it, but what happens is, it's okay that it's not easy and we have to work through it, and we'll talk about how to go about that. But to become confused about it or angry about it or get stuck in a constant, oh, this is not my zivug, this is terrible, they don't care about me, they don't love me, they're treating me like dirt. Meanwhile, none of this is happening. It's just that the one with the lower desire has to muster up work to connect in the relationship, while the higher one, it comes naturally, and therefore, the physical desire comes naturally, and therefore they clash in a very difficult way. But the idea being, though, is that it's normal. It's not sexual dysfunction to have vastly different sexual drives. It's something that could be worked on, and when it's worked on, it becomes the most beautiful thing in the world, where the higher one is satisfied with what they have, and the one with the lower libido puts in the work and connects sexually and enjoys it in a lot more than they expected. And they make it part of their lives, even though initially it's difficult to them. We'll soon talk about eights, is how each one can cope to make it much easier for the both of them to work it through, to have a thriving marriage, including the sexual, physical aspects of the marriage. Bracha v'hatzlacha.